When you're in space, bring your cat.
Fuck. Jonesy was the bad guy. Prove me wrong. Jonesy was in on it the whole goddamn time.
Jonesy's like the main character of the show.
Jonesy is the evil one of the story.
It's like, hey, alien, they're okay. Over here. They're over here, alien.
Dude, did you see the cat's face when that one dude was getting chomped and it flashed to Jonesy and his eyes were all just evil and he
was into it.
Jonesy was the bad guy.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Mind if I give it a shot?
Please do.
What's the matter? The food ain't that bad, baby. Okay.
Anyway, we're talking about Alien.
Aliens, 1979. Ridley Scott. Fuck, I love that guy. Great filmmaker.
I'm going to name my next cat Jonesy.
You should.
It's a good name for a cat.
It's probably going to kill you.
100% it's going to kill you.
Like, man, if I'm dead, I don't care if they eat me.
Whatever. That's spoken like a true cat person.
What do I care?
Really nice of you.
At least I'm sustaining something.
Alien.
Jonesy.
1979. Jude, take it away.
All right, sir. 1979 Alien, rated R with a runtime of 1 hour 57 minutes. This had a budget of $11 million. What do you think this brought into the box office?
I would like to point out that when we were talking about The Shining, which released the same year, Shining's budget was $30 million. So this was more around the average movie
it's
budget.
It's cheaper to film out in space.
How much did you say?
11.
$11 million.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I'm going to say it brought in... 75?
Okay.
We're playing prices right?
Yeah.
I'm going to go $1, Bob.
less than 75.
I'm going to say like 55, 60.
Okay.
$106 wow. million. Dollars.
Whoa. That's
fantastic.
Great.
You want to know what it's about?
Yeah.
The crew of the Nostromo have been sent off course to investigate a distress signal. While the captain and a select few go exploring, Ripley and Ash, an evil robot, stay behind. When a crew member sticks his face into a xenomorph pod, he gets the gut punch of his life, and having been brought back onto the ship, unleashes the perfect killing machine to wreak havoc among what's left of the crew. And that distress call? Nope, that was a warning to stay the fuck away. But it's too late now. The alien, who's definitely partnering with the cat, tracks each member of the crew down until all that's left is Ripley and the evil alien-sympathizing cat, Jones. Not knowing the cat has been working with the alien all along, Ripley escapes to the shuttle and flips the self-destruct switch on the Nostromo, fleeing to safety just as the ship explodes. But the alien is already on board, where he and Jones lie in wait to finish off that bitch human and then take over the galaxy. Discuss.
I get it.
Jude gets it.
I love the fact that we all dialed in on the cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that freaking cat.
That freaking cat is in on it.
Yeah.
That one scene, this is, we're skipping ahead, but that one scene where Ridley runs back to try to shut down Ripley runs back to try and shut down the machine, and the alien's like looking at the cat inside the box. That cat was like, she's going to blow up the ship, get in the freaking
Yeah.
Right?
And you got to go, bro. Yeah, you got to go. High five real quick.
Cool. We got this. All right. Yeah. You and I together, kill this bitch.
Yeah.
Go that way. Mm-hmm. She'll be there in a few minutes. Just hide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100% what that cat said to that thing.
Freaking. You're right.
Jones is the bad guy.
I totally get it.
An evil cat.
Yes.
He may or may not be friends with the alien. He may just be pretending to be everyone's friend and then he's just going to kill everyone off.
He's a survivor.
Yeah. He's
Was Jonesy
cat.
Friends with the guy who the alien came from?
No. No, because Jonesy, whose cat was Jonesy's? Was it
Ripley's? The ship cat.
It was Ripley's cat.
Was it Ripley's cat? Yeah. Or I thought it was Dallas's cat. For some reason,
I've always thought it was Ripley's cat.
It's a ship cat.
It's a stray. Just in case
if it wasn't Ripley's cat, Ripley wouldn't have cared so much to try to like go back and get it so many times and carry that stupid cat box.
I could have sworn it was Harry Dean Stanton's cat.
Maybe you're right. I don't know, but I've always gone under the assumption that.
Which one is Harry Dean Stanton?
He's the first guy who gets killed.
The chestburster guy.
Yeah. No. That's John Hurt. Harry Dean Stanton's like.
Yep.
With
the guy
right.
that they were like, yeah, go get it.
He's the really skinny engineering guy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So he's the one who dies from the full-grown xenomorph.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, gotcha. It might have been his. Yeah, because that's maybe is that why he was like, oh, it's just Jonesy, let him go. And they were like, dude!
Let him go! What the hell are you doing, man? It's a cat.
Yeah.
Go get your fucking cat.
God damn it! Yeah. Okay, makes sense.
I feel like, though, we're getting way ahead of ourselves.
Very much ahead of ourselves.
This movie still holds up.
This movie's a freaking work of art.
I mean, there are things. If this movie was remade today, the computer graphics on the monitors would be a little bit different and stuff. You know, it would be, you know. But I was super. I haven't seen this movie probably 8, 9, 10 years.
Yeah,
yeah.
Probably wow.
I always skip to just Aliens. I always go to the second.
Same.
One. Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
This is like a yearly rewatch for me.
But I was completely impressed, and this is on my shitty computer monitor that I need to get upgraded. But the grimy, the dingy, the spaceship submarine battle spaceship.
Kind I know of what like you're saying.
Navy
yeah.
ship kind of motif.
The industrial motif. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is so good.
Yeah.
This thing looks exactly like a movie that if they remade this movie right now, you would make it the exact same way. It wouldn't look any different, except for maybe some modern screen upgrade, more flat screens instead of that kind of stuff. But it looks great. It holds up really well.
I get what you're saying, but I disagree with you. I think if they made this movie now, it would look worse.
Oh, yeah.
Because they made essentially a prequel to this movie with modern technology, modern spaceship shit.
You can't do that.
And it's nonsense. It looks like every other generic sci-fi movie.
It's like Star Trek bullshit where they like try to like make something
old look new.
That's supposed to be from 50 years ago. Yeah. It doesn't work.
In my headcanon, in the future, all these like kind of low rent space hauler things are done by the lowest bidder.
Uh-huh.
And so they use outdated technology because it's cheaper.
That works.
Yeah. That's my headcanon.
But you know, I mean, the way they thought of what stuff would look like in 1979 when this movie came out, which means they made this in 1978. 1977 in times, right?
Fun fact, Ridley Scott.
It was good.
The reason why Ridley Scott went with like the used industrial vibe was because of George Lucas.
Yeah.
Because he saw Star Wars and he's like, oh, look at the Millennium Falcon. Yeah. That thing's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
These guys are space truckers.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. These aren't like scientists.
And before Star Wars.
This is a giant tugboat pushing a fucking load of.
It's a mining facility.
It's
a haul truck in space.
Right.
I believe Ridley Scott said that there were three influences on this film. The first one was Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
The second one was 2001, Space Odyssey.
Sure.
And the third one was the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Nice. Nice.
I get all those. I see all those things in this.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is I think I don't see a lot of movies from 1979 that hold up as well as this one does as far as graphics and special effects and that kind of stuff. With the exception of when the Nostromo blows up at the very end.
It's a little chintzy.
Yeah.
This movie could have been made in 1997.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been able to tell you the difference.
I love the aesthetic of this movie. Mm-hmm. It's such a freaking just work of art. Like the feeling of all the ships, interior and exterior, mm-hmm. they're tangible. They got weight to them. When they're doing the de-docking, when they're about to go down to Planet 487 or whatever
that was
the name
very,
of the planet is.
Very Kubrick.
Yeah. It was so cool. I every bit of this movie visually to me is just stunning. And I also, I'm sure Kadish can speak more to this intelligently than I can, but the way that they use music and or audio cues and lack thereof, like when there's complete silence and there's just like a light ticking in the background, it freaking puts you on edge. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what's happening. It could be a fake out. Nothing could happen.
Yeah, the motion sensor.
Yeah, the motion sensor, but no music. And then there's moments where you're like listening to just somebody breathing when they're inside the spaceship helmet and they can't hear anything externally. There's a scene, and it almost seems like a mistake, but there's a scene where what's the black guy's name? God, I can't remember his character's name. Does anybody know?
I just call him Yaphet Kotto.
Okay. That's his name. Yaphet Kotto. Great, great character in the show, by the way. But when he's being killed by the alien, there's scenes of him screaming, but there's no audio. It's like mute. Mm-hmm. And then like a few frames later, the scream picks up.
Parker,
thank you. It almost seems like a mistake because you're like, oh, I'm looking at this guy's face and he's screaming because he's being murdered by this thing. But there's nothing to follow it. No audio. It's an unsettling use of audio that I just freaking appreciate the hell out of in this whole movie from start to beginning. From beginning to end.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah. Thank you for the picture. Who was that? R2? Yeah. Man R2 in there. Yeah. Also, I'm sure you guys know this movie's 40 something years old or whatever. This has been talked about at length, but all the weird sexual penetration.
You were really in on that stuff last night.
Dude, if you look, like I watched a documentary on this movie and I was like, oh my God. Yeah. It's all of it is about like shoving things down people's throats and forcing birth and like vaginal motifs. And like, it's like, ugh, just like, whoa, man, that's freaking graphic. If you really think about it,
that's the H.R. Geiger influence.
Oh yeah. That guy's nuts. But yeah, his art was weird. But yeah, this freaking, I just gush over this movie. This movie's amazing.
Yeah, you know what's funny is that, you know, Ridley Scott, his background was in art design, right? Mm-hmm. Like he was like an art designer for movies, and then he made the leap into directing. And especially in his early work, like Blade Runner, Alien, like Legend, stuff like this, the worlds that he crafts for his movies feel real.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made his early work so special, in my opinion. Because, like, when you watch this movie, the set designs are amazing. Mm-hmm. And they instantly set the mood. And it's just, like, it's creepy, but at the same time, it's believably industrial and stuff like that. And, like for instance, the mother room, like, when they go in and consult with mother, it's a completely different aesthetic than, like, the rest of the ship.
Yeah.
And then like the sleeping pods where it's like this very sterile, like, you know, just kind of like plain Jane white room type thing. Like there are different areas of the ship have different feels to them.
Yeah.
When I watched this movie last night, I was asking myself in my head, it's like, this is how I picture these things being on spaceships someday. But what I was wondering was, it's like, is it because I watched this movie when I was 10 years old and that's what got imprinted in my head? Or if this is just how I think of these things. He's awake. It's like this is what a sleeping chamber is supposed to look like. You know, this is what when I want to go into the room and talk to Hal 9000 or ChatGPT or whatever. I'm gonna go in a room with all the white walls and the lights.
White padded walls.
It's really strange. You know, so I don't know what influenced me as far as what my internal visualization of what these things are supposed to look like.
Yeah.
But if you, before I had watched this movie yesterday, if you had told me to go draw a picture of
a hibernation
room is going to look like for a crew, you know, it's like, so I would have drawn that same exact thing.
All white with tubes on the floor. Yeah.
It was very strange that this movie is very influential in ways that I hadn't realized. You know what I'm saying? As far as shaping how I feel about sci-fi and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
I want to get the resident horror fans' thoughts on this. Jude, what's your thoughts on Alien?
So it's been a good minute since I've seen this movie. I didn't realize how long it had been until I was like, oh, I forgot about that part. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I've seen Aliens a million times.
Right.
And much more recently because we reviewed it for the show not that long ago. And it's a couple of years. Maybe a year or two. Yeah.
I remember that.
You don't remember us reviewing Aliens? The one that we all gave 5-star reviews?
Oh, let's do it again.
It's Aliens is my preference mm-hmm. as far as where the franchise is. I agree with you about like how the set looks and the ship looks. It's so real.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the chemistry between the characters.
Yeah.
But I do have some problems with it.
Oh, really? Okay.
I don't find this that scary. I find the alien a little the alien always just looks like he's hamming it up for me. Like, as soon as he busts out the chest, he's like, I can't not dude, see that.
Goddamn Mel Brooks.
That same thing happened to me, and I'm 100% like, fucking Spaceballs.
That's why I hate that movie, but it's true. And like every time you see like a full shot of the alien, he looks like he's like, hey, get a load of me.
Is the jazz hands?
Yeah, he does. He does, and he looks silly to me. So I can't get scared.
All right.
But like when they dock down and they're like trying to explore, that looks so fucking good.
Yeah.
And I hate Lambert. Lambert is a completely useless character for me.
She could just not be in the whole movie,
and it would be a better movie for me.
Yeah, well, she's supposed to be that character that's like, oh my God, guys, I'm freaking out. Like,
this movie doesn't need her.
You don't think so?
No.
I think it's a necessary element to the whole thing.
I had forgotten how much of a badass Ripley was.
Oh, Ripley's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I want to touch on this just really quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I mentioned this last night in the chat a little bit. But I get really tired. Really fucking tired of all these modern day movie watchers who say all these women in these new movies are the first of this and first of that and all this kind of bullshit, you know, with all their feminism and all their nonsense. 1979, Ripley was a badass female main character in a fucking horror action movie that everybody loved. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, I think the point.
And for people to come.
Don't let the woman talk.
Go ahead, Jude. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Did you need another pour?
No, I just lost my thought. So go ahead.
No, I think the point of like Ripley being such a badass is that like the difference is when we're making movies today, the point of a strong female character is that she's a woman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The character of Ripley, like, she's just a human who happens to be a woman who's a badass. Right. And that makes her so much richer of a character.
So you get the scene where they bring in what's-his-face back from the engineer ship, right?
Yeah. He's got the facehugger on.
And they're in the quarantine room.
Is that Kane?
Yeah. Open the door, Ripley. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Ripley, open the door.
And she was right. I can't do it.
Yeah.
And she's 100% correct. And then you got this fucking asshole,
evil robot,
Caucasian, evil fucking male robot who just says, fuck you, Ripley, I'm going to do what I want, and opens the fucking door.
Yeah. And then she confronts him about it, too.
Yeah.
She's like, hey, you're a science officer.
You know, it was like, so I guess how do I say this? The misogyny was real in 1979.
Of course it was.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, they played it up correctly. Ash got what he got coming to him.
Fun fact, and this maybe I wonder if this will change your take on this, is that Ripley was originally written as just a male character.
Whatever, it doesn't matter.
Actually, the script was originally gender neutral. Like, none of the characters had any sex assigned to them because they didn't know who they were going to cast yet.
Right.
And so basically, like, the character of Ripley and Dallas and all these people, they were just...
characters.
Like they were just characters.
Just well-written characters.
I guess what I'm saying is like, if this movie was made now, right?
Yeah.
It wouldn't look any different. Because it checks
all the boxes.
All the boxes were checked for this movie without any thought about being checkboxes.
Possibly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to like throw a sprinkle of modern day thought onto this because it just I'm not sure if people would appreciate this movie as much if it came out in theaters today as they did in 1979.
Maybe. Speaking of checking boxes though,
what?
We have to shout out our sponsor for the day's video. Yeah. Criticless. Guys, if you want to review this movie, which we did a great watch party together. Mm-hmm. We shouted it out on Criticless in our group. We had like 11 people. 11 or 12 people watching Alien with us on Monday nights at 9 p.m. You can join us on our Discord server. Pacific time. But Criticless is sponsoring this video, and we would like to encourage you guys all to start an account over there at criticless.com on your desktop or download it on your Apple and Android devices and start an account and go review this movie in particular because we were like, hey, okay, go review this movie so we can talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah.
And It only had a few. This is the brand new app, guys. And what I really love about it is how it gamifies the review process. So you guys can go in there. It has great little sliders that you can choose from, anywhere from bogus to decent to most excellent as far as the grade of the movie goes. And also, when you review a movie, it breaks it down by like these little spectrums. You'd be like, oh, is it violent? Yeah, it's a chestburster. Is it family friendly? Maybe. You're a little fucked up. Yeah. And then, like,
depends
is
on
it,
your family.
And speaking of the whole thing, is it political? I don't know. In my opinion, no.
No.
But somebody else could watch it from that viewpoint that you were just mentioning about the misogyny and this and that, whatever. And you could do, and is it sexual? There's a slider for that too. Is it sexual? Yeah, there's a lot of sexual motifs going on in this movie. Like a lot. So it's
there's no sex.
No sex.
A little bit of a butt crack.
A little bit of a butt crack. And you can put that on the slider. You could underneath each slider is a little place where you could put notes. And you can say, oh, yeah, I saw Sigourney Weaver's butt crack in this movie. It's a great way to review movies. Great way to build a community, too. The people that are there right now, a lot of our fans of the show, a lot of other people that have found the app are just going crazy reviewing all kinds of movies. So I highly suggest go check this app out. It's amazing. I have a blast doing it. The community surrounding it is movie fans for the sake of being movie fans. It's not infested with a bunch of nonsensical people who just say something's yep. good because they're getting a paycheck. These are people like us who just want to sit around and be like, oh yeah, freaking remember that Alien movie? Freaking awesome. Yep. And you go review a movie. Criticlist.com or on your Apple and Android device. Criticlist. You can read his hat right there for the spelling. Boom.
Criticlist.
All right. Jude, you wanted to say something.
I forget what it was.
Okay, cool.
we're talking about checking boxes.
Yeah, checking boxes and female characters being in this movie. I love...
Oh, he was talking about remakes, if they remade it today. So what I would never want to see is a remake of this where everyone looks pretty.
Prometheus?
Yeah, and that's what they're... That's every single movie that they come out with today, everyone has to be like fully made up and their hair looking gorgeous.
Yeah.
And no one gets dirty or ugly or beat up, especially not the women.
These are like truck drivers.
That's what makes this movie... feels so real because the characters get fucked up and no one's worried about like touching up their mascara while the scene is going.
What's funny is the casting of this movie, because Sigourney Weaver at the time was a complete unknown, but originally Meryl Streep, you know, F you Meryl Streep, she was going to be Ripley. Sigourney Weaver was Meryl Streep's roommate in college. So like when Meryl Streep dropped out because she had like some type of family tragedy, she recommended that Sigourney Weaver be cast in the role. And originally the character of Dallas was going to be Harrison Ford. And if you think about it, like, you know, Dallas dies halfway through the movie and he's kind of set up to be like the captain, the main character, stuff like that. And it would have been a real kind of like mind fuck if Harrison Ford just got killed off in the middle of the movie. So I think that was a little bit of a missed opportunity, but Harrison Ford was basically like, I don't want to do another sci-fi film after Star Wars.
You know, I guess it's just, to me, it's just, it's we've had strong women characters in movies for a very long time.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not new. This is not a new thing in movies like people act like it is these days. I guess that's all I'm really trying to say.
The famous quote from Jennifer Lawrence when she did the Mockingbird movies or whatever. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, I'm like the first female that they've ever put in an action movie. No, you're not.
Not even close.
She has since come out and said, okay, I misspoke. That was taken out of context. Yeah. That's not what I meant.
I'm sure she did. But you also get people like Elizabeth Banks saying that there's like not enough female, you know, action stars, whatever. Like, hey, go watch some freaking movies.
Yeah.
You mean the same Elizabeth Banks who tried to Me Too Steven Spielberg?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, didn't go too well for her.
No. That scene where Steven Spielberg, you've never had a strong female in any of your movies. And somebody from the crowd goes, the color purple. She's like, oh, shit.
The last thing I want to say on that kind of like part of the topic is strong female characters existed long before 2012 or whatever.
And it was just well-written characters.
Just well-written characters, and we love them all.
Yeah. Ripley's awesome. Yeah. She's so freaking good. I love the when she confronts Dallas about the whole situation.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
She was strong. Open the door, Ripley. I can't do that.
I can't. It's against policy.
Yeah.
You know why it's against policy.
24 hours.
But even after that, when she addresses him in the hallway and he's trying to like scoot away and she's like, fuck this. And she closes the door on him and he's like, God damn it.
It's like,
hey man, I'm talking to you. Right. Sorry. I'm talking to you. I need an answer for why you just potentially put everybody on here at risk.
If they had all survived, she would have been the captain of the next one, and Dallas would have been her first person.
Yeah.
Because he would have got demoted by the company or whatever.
I don't know. That company they work for sucks.
Speaking of, this is a great segue. I love the conspiracy behind what the company's doing.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's people in the chat when we were watching this on Discord when they were like, oh, does the company know about the alien at this point? Mm-hmm. Yes. They know about it. They've studied it, but they don't have a live specimen.
Right.
When they found out that the location that they're going to had something that might be alive, they specifically, and it's stated in the movie, they swapped out the original science officer with Ash 2 days before they left and said, you're going to go to this location and you're going to get this thing for us. Everything else is secondary. The payload from the Nostromo, don't care.
The crew,
expendable. Like, Ash, your job is to go and do this.
Yeah. And Ash is a robot, so he's programmed to just follow the order.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Also, I remember the first time I ever watched this movie, and you see that, like, little white bead of sweat come down Ash's forehead.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, when his head comes off, all the white blood starts spraying out. Like, you're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, what the fuck moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And you find out, oh, he's an android.
But it brings up a question, too, is, like, why did he freak out like that? And this is my headcanon.
Yeah, I was kind of, I asked that last night to you, and I go, why would android sweat? That's so weird. It just, so.
I don't have any basis for this. It's just me as a movie fan watching this movie trying to justify what's happening on screen. There might be some comic book somewhere that explains it. But in my head, all the famously robots in movies typically have like a do no harm policy in their programming. Like, you cannot harm humans. And I think Bishop in the second movie also abides by that. Like, we cannot harm humans. So the company was somehow diverting Ash's hard programming to say, instead of do no harm, no, if you need to harm these people to get them out of your way, that's what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. And it freaking bugged him out.
Yeah,
his programming just couldn't handle the fact that he was about to kill Ripley.
That makes sense.
And that's why he goes, blah, 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 blah. He freaks out and does circles.
I'm okay with that. That works for me.
That's my justification. I don't know. Comment below if you guys know something more solid, concrete from a comic book or Ridley Scott said something himself or whatever.
I don't know if you're right.
Yeah.
But my headcanon can accept
that. And I'm going off of my own personal thought on this with the Asimov rules and also Aliens, the sequel to this, where Bishop was like, I'm programmed to not do any harm.
Yeah.
The Ash was obviously originally programmed to not do any harm, but then they were like, hey, kill all these people and get this thing for us. And he was like,
I'm going to rewrite this movie.
Yeah.
I'm going to rewrite this movie. But instead of Ripley being rescued in Aliens 2 or whatever, she's going to get picked up by a predator ship.
Okay.
I love it.
Cool. All right. Interesting. Has any of you guys played or heard of Alien Isolation, the video game?
I have not. I've seen it, but it looks... Oh,
okay, listen. For all the fans that are watching this and for you guys here, I know you two play video games a little bit. Alien Isolation is the freaking pitch perfect...
Is it a shooter?
No. Okay. No, it's a survival horror.
All right.
First-person survival horror game, but it's based in this world, and it takes place between Alien and Aliens. It's Ripley's daughter goes and tries to find her what happened to her mom.
Hmm.
And she gets involved in this big thing that happens on this ship, and she has to go explore. There has to be a xenomorph on the ship. And you're playing through, and you're like basically trying to investigate what happened. It's very in-depth, like Wayland, like what's going on with the company, what's going on with these people, why is everything corrupt? Why the robot's trying to kill everybody. Like, it's very, very deep. But the most important thing about that game is it gets that atmosphere that we all love so much, that tangible, real feeling, the music motifs and the audio. It's all in this game. You put some headphones on, you play this game in the dark.
I got it.
Freaking scary.
I have a question about the movie.
Yeah.
Maybe Matthew has Matthew. Why are we calling him Matthew? Maybe Matt has an answer. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. Why is everything in this movie so wet?
Do you have any answer for that?
Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, everything in this movie is wet. Even the afterburners on the ship at the end is wet. It's weird.
So they would often use glycerin on the actors, just spritz it on them. And it's a lighting trick. It's meant to, like, when you add liquid to like a set, it creates like a sheen to it and it gives it like a different feel. And Ridley Scott, being like, you know, an art director, he was very cognizant of this. And so, like, he wanted to add elements to the feel of the sets and the actors and stuff like that. In fact, you know, the blue lasers in the alien ship where all the eggs are underneath that.
Yeah.
So like, you know, they created a mist so that you could see the lasers, and they actually stole those from the opposite soundstage where the Who was practicing with you know, their stage show. So those are actually the Who's lasers.
That's awesome.
In there. But, you know, Ridley Scott, just being like the visionary that he was at the time, use these techniques, and you know, they would just pour KY jelly down like the xenomorph just to make it like look creepier and stuff like that. And so like that's pretty much the only reason that they did it was like, whenever you add liquid to light, it creates like an enhancement that you normally wouldn't get.
Yeah. And for the in canon solution to that, especially the afterburners things, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I mean, isn't this in a wet movie view?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
When the first guy gets killed.
Yeah, they go to cooling towers, right?
And he's like looking up.
He's
like,
just dripping.
I was like, if I'm in a spaceship,
yeah,
and I got a water leak coming down on me that hard,
that can't be good.
That's not good. That's not. There's something wrong.
They're not in part of the spaceship that's like electronically based. That's all like the industry stuff. That's okay. Like there's steam.
It's in the mining part.
It's the mining part of the ship.
All right.
And also, I think they said that specifically, oh, he disappeared in the cooling towers. So it's like the cool, like, okay, so what are they going to use to cool the engines and all that stuff? Liquid. Water, yeah, maybe. Right. So that's kind of where they came
coolant.
From. Coolant. But also the afterburner thing, that scene that you're talking about?
Yeah, at the very end.
I justify that. I think I know it's just like a visual trick to make it look like it's like moving or shooting or whatever.
Yeah, that was one of the few things in this movie that didn't work for me.
So it's the escape pod.
Yeah.
So it doesn't get used very often. So there's going to be a lot of ice buildup.
Oh, okay.
But ice buildup on that ship, when she actually turns the burners on, it melts all that ice and then it gets shot out towards the camera. I think that's my justification point.
It works, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. It just seems like there's a lot of liquid water dripping and flowing.
And steam and like random things. Yeah,
a lot of steam. A lot of stuff blowing around.
It's the aesthetic.
You know, one of the cool aspects of this movie was them giving the alien acidic blood.
Yeah,
that's original. Yeah,
it brought a whole new element to it, because basically they were in a, like, the writers were in a situation where it's like, why can't they just get a gun and shoot the alien? And they're like, well, what if by shooting it you breach the hull of the ship, right? And so like, it gave an actual in story justification as to why like they couldn't just like, you know,
kill
like,
it,
like kill yeah. it. Yeah,
I love it.
So I mean, they devote a whole 2-minute section of the movie to us. Like, they cut the arm off of the facehugger.
Yeah.
And it
like drips down like,
oh my god, that's gonna like eat through the hull of the ship.
Yeah.
So many movies nowadays don't bother to justify anything in their narrative. But like, if you look at this movie, like, they talk about inertial dampers, they talk about artificial gravity, they talk about, you know, they give a reason why they can't just kill the alien because it's got acidic blood.
Yep.
You know, like they have characters be smart, where Ripley's like, I'm not gonna let you in, I'm following quarantine protocol. But then like the robot, which you find out later, was acting under orders, lets them in. But even up to that point, he's like, you know, my commanding officer was giving me an order, I was just following orders, you know. So like, there's so much smart stuff in the screenplay that justifies every decision that's made in the movie. And so many movies nowadays just gloss over that. Like, they just have plot logic holes. They're like, this needs to happen, otherwise we wouldn't have a movie type thing. But this was back in the era when people still bothered to sit down and think out their narrative and be like, okay, how can we justify all the decisions? How can we justify all the plot points?
And as somebody who's worked in an industry similar to what these guys are doing, like the crew dynamic that Jude mentioned, like that, those interactions, 100% real.
Down here for
you, better stay the fuck out of my way.
Yeah, I'd like to see what you're gonna do.
Anybody ever tell you looked at me?
Will you listen to me, Parker? Shut up!
Let's hear it. You're on some shit job and you're freaking just mining whatever, you're doing the industrial stuff, chemical processing, whatever it is. That crew dynamic exists. Like, you got the one guy who's just like, frick it, what the company wants us to do?
It's like, God. Hold on a second. Before I do anything more,
how much am I getting paid? We need to talk about
how many shares I'm going to
pull off. Yeah, there's that guy.
It's like, well, you signed a contract.
I'm not doing extra work for no extra pay.
And they also had the plot point where they said, like, if we don't respond to this, you know,
our bonus is
stress call.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we don't get paid at all because like they'll revoke those because it's international or intergalactic law or something.
Yeah.
And I can totally see something like that.
100%, dude. That crew dynamic exists.
They're like, supposed to be on their way home.
Yeah, you got the guy who's I'm not doing anything extra unless I'm getting paid. And then you got the other guy who just wants to complain about everything that he's told to do. Right. Then you got the guy who's like, listen, man, you can complain all day. We still have to freaking do the job.
You got useless Lambert who's just upset and fretting the whole movie.
She was the navigator.
She's useless.
But that whole crew dynamic 100% exists, and I think that's what makes it feel so real and tangible. Mm-hmm. You're watching these characters, and you actually...
It did.
Yeah.
Felt you know very, what very saved, organic. You know what would have saved everyone? Is a faster fucking translator.
You know what would have saved everybody? Not having a goddamn cat on board. Because that cat...
Truth.
That cat led to every death in this freaking movie.
100%.
Freaking Jonesy was the bad guy.
All you gotta do is like go to the escape pod ship at the beginning
and just leave.
Just leave.
Yeah. The cat was aligning itself with whoever is like stronger.
The most likely to survive.
Or, as was suggested in the film, put him in cryo sleep and let's go fucking home.
Right.
Oh, the guy who got like
just bit. put him in the thing with the sleeper with the attached to his face.
Yeah, let's go. He's like, why don't you just freeze him?
Then they get the alien and they go home.
Yeah, didn't Lambert suggest to get the hell out of there first? Like she was the first one. Yeah. Like, hey guys, why don't we get out of here?
Yeah,
yeah. So useless Lambert actually had the best idea of the whole group.
Do you want to talk about the most famous scene in this movie?
The chestburster scene.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Hello, baby. Hello,
God damn it!
Stop it, Jude.
Freaking Spaceballs.
I can't.
Well, in Spaceballs, they got John Hurt to play the...
Yeah, he's the same guy, yeah.
Oh, no. Not again.
I'll have what he's having. Yeah. Oh, Mel Brooks. Dickhead. Who knows more about the scene, me or Kadish? I don't know. I'm a pretty big fan of this movie, if you can't tell.
Hey, go for it.
So Ridley Scott, when preparing for this scene, didn't tell any of the actors what was going to happen.
Yeah.
He set the scene. Obviously, he had the guy have the on the table and he had like the shirt on and stuff like that. And he's like, okay, guys, he's sick. You guys got to help him. Do your best, you know, act the scene out. It's kind of ad-libbed. It's not really scripted, but it's like, hey, this is happening. React. And he didn't tell anybody that this freaking giant bloody penis was going to come out of the dude's chest. So all those reaction shots of like Sigourney Weaver and the chick who plays Lambert, it's all real.
And like when it splashes up on them.
Yeah, and she's like, ah, and she like freaks out. That's all legit. Like that's not acting.
And
that's
they all just stop.
And they're all just, whoa, what just happened? Yeah.
So it's funny because, you know, the actors all had an idea of what the scene was about and what was going to happen. But what Ridley Scott didn't tell them was like what the blood reaction was going to be.
Right.
And there's actually a scene in there where like, you know, the initial chest burst, you see like the blood burst on John Hurt's chest.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually the first take of the scene where like it was supposed to come through the shirt, but the shirt didn't rip.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that was actually a blooper, but Ridley Scott chose to keep it in the movie as the precursor to like the thing actually working.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And it works so much better.
And it was when basically like they had to reset the scene and basically like when the blood did spurt out, nobody was expecting that much blood. And so the reactions when they got hit by it were all real. Like they had never seen like any artwork of the alien. Nobody had any idea what it looked like. And so like when this thing popped out, everyone was like, what the fuck?
Do you guys know anything about the actor that they got to play the actual alien?
No.
Mm-mm.
Nothing? He's like...
I know a little bit.
He's like some... Well, I know just a little bit too, but he's like... He's some super lanky, skinny, like Nigerian guy or something like that?
Yeah, the casting director saw him in a pub. And basically, there was like, he's over 6 feet tall and he's got really skinny arms. We could use this guy. And so like... They approached him and they were like, hey, you ever thought about acting? And
he was
like,
man, no. He died very young.
The guy who played the alien?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bummer.
92.
Oof.
Yeah. He was 39.
Well, it's kind of funny. Like half the cast of this movie is dead.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Well, it's an old movie, man.
Yeah, well, it's 40 years old, right?
Yeah. And they were all, what, 30s or 40s when they made it? Yeah. Getting up there.
Tom Skerritt's still alive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love this movie. I'm going to go ahead and rate it right along. Okay, so we rated Aliens 5 out of 5.
I think all of us did 5 stars on that.
This is a very different type of movie. I'm not rating it
based on what Aliens is. Aliens is like James Cameron, very sequel, you know, action-packed. It's an action sci-fi, not a horror sci-fi. But I still think that this movie is a five-star movie. I freaking love it. I love everything about it. I love the musical motifs and the visuals and the science fiction aspect of it with like the old tactile freaking keyboards and the 70s, you know, style computers and stuff like that. I think any movie that needs to be made in this world needs to fit into that mold. Otherwise, it breaks the world for me. That's why I don't like Prometheus and I don't like Alien Covenant, because they're all too new sci-fi. They got holograms and flat screens and all this bullshit. It just doesn't fit. Like the way that this world feels in this movie is the way that the world needs to feel in all movies that have anything to do with this. But 5 out of 5 for me.
5 out of 5.
Yeah. How about you, buddy?
Been mulling this around. You know, I'm really stingy.
You're very stingy with your 5 stars.
I'm really stingy with my 5 stars.
Yeah.
I think I'm there. I think I'm right there with you.
All right.
Because, you know, I have to think back about, this is a 1979 movie.
Yeah.
This wasn't made in 2019. This is a 2009 movie, and I look back at it, and I'm still thoroughly entertained. I'm still scared. Jonesy still makes me jump. And he's all,
I was in on it, man. Cat.
Yeah. You know, the characters are all still very believable to me. I think this is the movie that started out our societal intrinsic distrust of synthetic life forms. You know what I mean? Do we all really trust a robot?
Or AI?
Or AI? No.
Nope.
We do not. And it's because of fucking Ash. I thoroughly believe that, at least as far as I'm concerned. That was the start of that, you know?
Yeah.
Except maybe Hal. What are you doing, Dave?
Yeah. 2001 A Space Odyssey,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, that's where he was inspired by that.
Yeah.
So it makes sense.
So, I mean, yeah, I'm going to go 5 stars. Screw it.
Nice.
I mean, yeah, it's there. You know, I'm not going to judge it on its terrible explosion of the Nostromo at the end, because it's like Star Wars Death Star blow up bad. It's not good.
Oh, I thought Star Wars Death Star blow up was better than this one.
Yeah, it is better than that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not going to detract.
It was tense. It was like 5 seconds out of the movie.
Yeah,
it's fine.
For sure.
Whatever.
Good movie, man.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed this. 5 stars, 5 stars, 5 out of 5.
Nice.
Same as Aliens 2. After that, man.
That's a steep decline.
It goes down really hard, really hard, fast. Yeah, I love this movie. I own it now on digital for $5 on Amazon.
Right on.
Good stuff. I'm going to watch it again here pretty soon.
Cool.
I think.
Jude?
So this does not have the rewatchability for me that Aliens does.
Okay.
That being said, there's so much good stuff in this movie. And this kind of set the stage for like a lot of sci-fi and a lot of like in space horror movies. Like this movie did it right. And the dynamic between the characters and how everything looks, except for the alien. Good stuff. A lot of good stuff. So it's not 5 stars for me, but I'm going to give it 4 evil cats.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
4 evil cats. Not bad.
It's too many.
Freaking cat was in on it the whole goddamn time. Okay, how about you?
So this is a very seminal movie in cinema history. It not only elevated the horror genre, but also elevated the sci-fi genre. It kind of set the stage, kind of like how Vader mentioned, for like a whole generation of like how they view the future in terms of like how it looks, the aesthetic. It's a very brilliantly crafted film. It spawned a huge franchise. It's Ridley Scott's first masterpiece, in my opinion. So like there's a lot of things to credit to this movie. And it is a 5-star movie.
Nice.
Like soup to nuts, 5 stars.
So. Way to go, Jude.
I said what I said.
I stand on my heel.
4 stars feel pretty freaking good though.
Yeah.
Good. Great. Well, hey, the table is pretty much in agreement. That doesn't happen
possibly
often.
The second best rated movie we've ever reviewed.
Possibly. I'm going to get a lot of shit for The Shining when that comes out. I went hard on that movie.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Great. Thank you guys so much for watching the show. Remember to go to Critiqlist.com and get yourself an account over there and help us review awesome movies or terrible ones if you want. It's a great free speech forward platform where you get to go and talk your piece about any movie that you want. We're hoping that it grows to the point where it's going to take out Rotten Tomatoes. Get rid of that freaking that.
Got some work to do.
Yeah, that freaking terrible platform with its skewed audience ratings.
Hey, man.
Paid and bought for critic ratings.
If Disney wants to pay me money to write reviews about their shitty shows, I'm okay.
Really?
Yeah, I'll do it. I'm easy.
We'll ban you.
Technically, Alien is now a Disney movie.
Oh, why'd you say that?
Give me some cheddar.
So this is the end of our spooky month.
It is. Yeah, it's the end.
October.
Next is Retro We Watch.
Retro We Watch,
where we do movies from 1959 to 1969.
Pre-70. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to start with Seven Samurai.
Seven Samurai next week, guys. Going to have a lot of fun.
That's pretty crazy.
That's deep. I've never seen it before.
That is not Martian attacks from deep outer space it movies.
Kurosawa's masterpiece.
Yeah, I'm great. Kind so of we worried.
Got no bat gotta, rat spider crabs in this movie.
Not yet. Zack Snyder wouldn't have anything to steal if it wasn't for
please don't get all professor on us.
Oh, he's going to get professor on us.
He's going to get professor on us.
Get ready, man. Get ready.
I'm getting really
You're going to have to read the movie, though, unfortunately, Vader.
I've been reading a lot of movies.
They've never dubbed it?
Nope.
Oh, wow. Oh, good for them. November starts our Retro Rewatch month, so buckle up, folks. We're going to be doing some old school stuff coming up here.
Can we put the schedule up in Discord so I know what we're watching and when, please?
Yeah,
for sure. Or you could check your email.
Yeah, but
I want people to know what we're watching, too.
Yeah. So. All right, folks. Thanks so much for watching the show. Really appreciate it. Hope you had a great time this spooky month. Safe October. See you next week. Stay salty.